Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast, episode 900. 900. We'll get to that in a second. First of all, I would like to thank Loot Crate for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. If you're on a quest for any kind of epic gear, housewares, collectibles, Loot Crate has it. It's like the best surprise that you know is coming. So you're going to get an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. If you're more of a fanatical fashionista, then try Lootwear. Monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises. But if you want to get fancy, you can get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. And if you have a pet that you want to force to like the things that you like, try Loot Pets. Katie, do you...
Should I get one for Scout?
What do you want to get for Scout? Just get a
anything.
get a
she
loot
would
pet
love toys.
Get a loot pet box for Scout.
Some dog clothes.
Well, the offer expires September 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific. So whether they beep or speak, many of our favorite characters are robotic. In September's Loot Crate, you're going to find items from Star Wars, Star Trek, Aliens, Blade Runner, and one lucky subscriber will win a mega crate that is massive, that has a ton of stuff in it. Again, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe, receive that month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, it's over. Go to LootCrate.com/Nerdist and enter the code Nerdist to save 10% off any new subscription today. All right, Katie, what do you got on the corkboard?
Well, first of all, Best Friends Animal Society's annual Strut Your Mutt event is coming back in October, and we brought back Team Nerdist Podcast Network. It is a dog walk fundraiser that also includes photo booths, food trucks, free goodies, and much more. We've done Team Nerdist in the past, and they've always been a lot of fun, and we are hoping to raise even more money for homeless pets this year. This year's LA event is October 21st at Exposition Park, and we'd love to have you come out and strut with us. Or if you can't make the event, you can always just donate to our team. All the money from team participants and donations go to helping save homeless animals. And Scout and I will be there. Aristotle will be there with his dogs. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And you can visit nerdi.st/strutyourmutt2017. So that's Nerdist, but then with a dot in between the I and the S to find out more info or to join the team or donate.
Yeah, that was a I registered nerdi.st.
That was smart.
Years ago, so I could make short links.
To make, the bit.ly ones.
I believe ST is the extension for the St. Thomas. So there's like an international domain service, so you can register domains in other countries, so you can get, you know, like LY is Libya.
Yeah.
Like .ly is Libya.
France and then
FR.
UK.
UK. Yep. So if you're trying to make like a clever thing with a dot in the middle
St.
of it.
St. Thomas.
You can go international. So yeah, so there you go. That's the short link for Nerdist. That's what that is.
And then I have one more. Nicholas Page writes, I'm a graphic designer at NASA Johnson Space Center. He wanted to promote an awesome new Johnson Space Center focused podcast created by his coworker, Gary Jordan. It's called Houston, We Have a Podcast. And I love that name. And it focuses on the science and multiple mission essential functions that take place at the Johnson Space Center. The discussions include space food, astronaut training, live conversations with astronauts currently on board the International Space Station, and much more. You can find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, everywhere, or nasa.gov/Johnson/HWHAP.
And I'm glad you brought up Houston because, first of all, I've been to the Johnson Space Center.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And we're just we're wishing you, if you're listening in Houston, we're wishing you all the best for cleanup. If anyone is listening that wants to help Houston, I donated to JJ Watts.
He's really helped.
Last I checked, they'd raised over $13 million. Yeah. And then also Houston Food Bank. Food Bank is good.
And they also, they need food for people.
They need food for people. Shelters. And then I had also asked about some good local pet charities.
Yeah, the Houston SPCA, the Humane Society. There's a whole bunch that you can find online.
Yes, but, you know, donating blood, food.
Diapers,
pet support, money, anything will help. But it is, as you know, this is an understatement to say this, but it was a devastating event and certainly one that you would never want to have to go through in your own community. So
it's going to be years of recovery.
It's going to be years to recover. And so please help out Houston. And then there's another fucking storm headed toward Florida. So
And it's about to hit like Puerto Rico. It's a category 5. It's just terrifying.
Yeah, so a lot of, there will be a lot of people who will need your relief efforts. So, anything you can do to help out would be would be much appreciated.
Yes.
So we are thinking about you, Houston. And now this episode, people have keep asking for a hostful podcast. This is a hostful podcast.
Do people like the hostfuls?
I mean, yeah. I feel like some of them do. This is from the ID10T festival where I brought Matt and Jonah up in June, where we did ID10T, which was an incredible experience. It was such an incredible experience. And it's looking like we're going to do one next year, but I'll have more information about that soon. So we had there was about 1,000 people there in the tent. And we did Quements, and we did, and it just felt like the old days, Katie. It felt like the old days.
Nothing had changed.
And you know what? I actually found a folder of unreleased live podcasts that we did around the country.
Wait, what?
When I think this might be have predated you being here, but we toured. Matt and Joan and I toured. And for whatever reason, they just never got released. And so I kind of – now that Talking with Chris Hardwick is done for the season, I'm kind of wondering if maybe occasionally we should just drop in. I mean, they are – I don't know what the topics are in any of these podcasts. I have not heard them
they
since we did them.
They must be at least 5 or 6 years
They're
old,
They're five
right?
or 6 years old. But I have like 10 of them.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know. I might start dropping these in as we you know, until we can get Matt and Jonah back on. I do want to say, if you weren't aware, Jonah's dad passed away a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, if you haven't, maybe just a hug on social media for Jonah. But he's doing really well. He's back in L.A. now. And, you know, I want to give a huge shout out to Papa Ray, Michael Ray Rodriguez, his dad, who was a lovely guy. I got to meet him a handful of times and just a sweetheart. So I understand this very well. And it's not – it's something that most people will have to go through, and but it still feels unnatural. So Jonah, I love you, and all the hugs in the world, and – your dad will be missed. So this is the ID10T hostful that we're going to post, and hopefully we'll get some more hostfuls together soon. It was really great to have Matt and Jonah up to the festival, and every time we get together and we do this, it just makes me miss the days. I mean, I'm very proud of the Sister Wives.
Yes.
They're both working a ton. They're both doing amazing things. Occasionally someone will go, hey, you know, I am a fan of the podcast, but I miss the days when it was just you guys fucking around. And I completely miss that, too, because I love these guys. And having a podcast to get together with gave us the opportunity to hang out and catch up in our otherwise busy schedules. So I promise I will do everything that I can to get us all back together more often to do some hostful podcasts more regularly, so it's not just me gabbing all the time about stuff. So this episode 900, which is mind-blowing to me that we've done 900 of these. 900, Katie! 900 episodes is also brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is a sleep brand that created a premium mattress, and they sell it online for a fraction of what it would cost in the store. Legitimately a fraction of what it would cost. Because there's no dealing with brick and mortar stuff. They're just going direct to you, the sleep consumer. So the business works by continuously developing their mattresses using feedback of nearly 500,000 customers. And their San Francisco research and development team recently developed a proprietary foam that relieves pressure and increases airflow. And real customers have said the mattress is like sleeping on brioche. So if you've ever been eating a brioche and be like, I would love to sleep on this. Well, you can.
Great image.
And it's not that much more expensive than a brioche. And I'm going to turn into Seinfeld. You can buy a bunch of brioches and sleep on it. It'll probably be more expensive. But Casper is really easy. You order online, whether in the U.S., Canada, and now even the U.K., and they deliver to your door in a compact how-do-they-do-that size box, free shipping, free returns. And I got my mom a Casper mattress. She loves it. You know, I think she and the mattress might be dating now. I don't know what's in, but she absolutely, you know, and she's a, and my mom's a very picky sleeper.
Is she?
She is.
Yeah,
she's a very.
A lot of people are. I mean, think about a mattress. You spend so much time on a mattress.
And it greatly affects how you can function during the day if you're not sleeping
well. Because if you get a bad mattress and you don't sleep, you're going to be a terrible person throughout the day.
Well, because if you have a mattress that you're not happy with and it's in your home, then it's almost like a weird prison sentence where you're like, oh, I got to go to that thing that I hate. That's, I'm not going to get, you know, I'm not going to get the required amount of rest and sleep. And then, And then I'm going to have a horrible day. So you take 100 nights to try it out. If you don't love this Casper mattress, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Nerdist and use the code Nerdist. Terms and conditions apply. Here's Nerdist podcast number 900, which is appropriately a hostful podcast from the ID10T Festival. Go to ID10TFest.com for more info on the festival. And please enjoy, and hopefully we'll do more of these soon. Katie, please roll the 900th thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Song, we'll wait. Anamanaguchi, shout out to them for that theme song that we've been able to use for the past 7.5 years. Also, shout out to producer Katie Levine, who's here in the back, who just made that happen.
KT Money!
Where is Katie? I don't even see her.
I don't know. I think she's... Where is Katie?
Oh, there's Katie.
Katie right back there. Bay Area native, Katie Levine, back there. Thank you for coming to this.
Holy shit.
I gave Katie a ride to the venue, and the second she gets in my car, she said, hella.
What?
Yeah.
It's the Bay Area. It brings it out of all of us.
I'm just saying, it's hella crazy.
Yeah. It's hella cray, Matt. Get with it.
That's and then I texted my wife. I was driving through Palo Alto, like
hold
down
on,
university.
Hold on. You were texting, and what was the other thing you were doing?
Driving. Sorry, everybody.
Okay. All right. You've ever wanted to see...
The speed limit's 25. My car will stop itself. Go fuck yourselves.
Oh. Sounds like Making a Murderer too.
This is the clip that plays. but I was texting my wife, and I said, there's a lot of... I was driving to university, and I was like, there's a lot of pizza here. And then my wife texts me back, you're stronger than pizza. And I was like... No, it's like per capita. There's a lot of fucking pizza places.
She thought you were telling her that?
She's trying to help you. Diet and exercise.
Matt, I'm going to be honest. You're one of my best friends, but you ain't strong. I'd rather hang out with pizza.
No. Ditto.
Yeah.
I'd be like, honey, I think pizza should sleep in the bed tonight instead of me.
Exactly.
And I get it.
Yeah. Wrap yourself in pizza, call yourself Pizza the Hut.
Oh, sounds good.
This is literally the only way we could ever do another hostful podcast was to make a festival. This is the whole festival was just centered around getting the two of you guys to
we
sit down.
We tricked you all.
Yeah. I hope you guys don't mind. We're just going to catch up for a bit.
So anyway, yeah, that was really fun. You guys did good? Oh, that's all fun. You wouldn't get it. but it's crazy because... Since, you know, we started the podcast 7.5 years ago, a lot has happened. We're all married now. We're all working on stuff. Matt's writing on the Goldbergs. Jonah's doing like 9 shows. And so we just don't ever, when people go, why don't you guys just sit down? Like, because you're about to do the Mystery Science Theater tour.
Yeah.
So you'll be gone for months. So it's just really difficult to get us all in the same room at the same time, which is good and bad.
I think mostly bad, probably, for the listeners, like, because I'm great.
Yeah.
And,
well, they have a lot of other opportunities to listen to you on 80 other podcasts.
That is true. That's very true.
I know. People are like, people give me shit about hosting after shows. I'm like, what about Matt? He'll start a podcast at the drop of a hat.
He started a podcast on the way up called Lots of Pizza Places.
What it is, every episode I review a different pizza place in Palo Alto.
Yeah. It's called My Favorite Pizza.
This one is called King Arthur's Pizza. What was that? No, Camelot? What is there? There's a pizza place called...
Round Table. You got there eventually, man.
Well, sorry, really, I said King Arthur. I said Camelot.
You're
I did
so
not
close.
Land on Round Table. What is wrong with that name? It should be fucking King Arthur's Pizza.
No, it shouldn't. It's Round Table, and it's great.
I love Guinevere's Pizza. No. Merlin's Pizza. No. The Sword.
See, Round Table, it signifies that you sit around a table with your family and friends and have some good pizza and great times.
Proud sponsor of the Nerdist podcast. Round Table Pizza. You never heard of Round Table Pizza? It's a big chain. It's a big chain around the country.
Where?
Everywhere but, I guess, Los Angeles and,
and Boston.
And Boston, yeah.
I don't know it then.
I went to a Round Table growing up. I remember one time I did a thing where I met up with some friends at Round Table Pizza, and I put a wig on over my hair and then a hat on over them. And then about 20 minutes into hanging out, me and my friend got into a fake fight, and then my hat got pushed off along with the wig, and then I covered my head and ran out and saying, "This is so embarrassing! Why would you?" And for the rest of the night, my friends thought I was actually bald.
What? Why did you do that?
I don't. I was a weird kid.
So where? What are you in the middle of at the moment? So Hidden America season 2 just went up. Not that, I guess like
Hidden America season 2 also taken back down.
Oh, it was.
It's in a transitional phase where the network it's on is making some changes.
CISO,
and you can still get the first season, but the second season is gone. They said something about being too hot for the internet. I don't know. we're going on a 6-week cross country tour with Mystery Science Theater 3000, and we're doing San Francisco. So come on by.
Nice.
Yeah.
And do you have any idea if there's going to be another season of MST?
We don't know. I mean, we're optimistic about it. It did well. People seem to like it. The network
Netflix would have to do it, right? You can't just crowdfund another one.
No. People gave a lot to the right. to the Kickstarter, and people at Netflix saw how excited people were, and will give us more episodes, or just cast me in that show Glow, which is my new favorite show.
Yeah, just cast you in something. Netflix has literally enough programs for the next 2 years. They could just put out shows all the time.
But you can't really tell how good it is because you have to say thumbs up or thumbs down.
And what would you prefer?
A star rating?
Wow, you seem very aggressive about your star rating.
It's very annoying to me. It's like recommending me things where I'm like, I don't really know if this is recommended.
It should be a percentage.
It doesn't do a percentage.
Yeah, it's like a thumbs up percentage thing, like how likely it is you'll like it.
Yeah, but it's always wrong.
Why are you listening to some algorithm telling you what you should watch?
I want the
algorithm. You're in Silicon Valley. You can't
stars.
Say that kind of shit, Jonah.
I can't shit talk
programmers
algorithms.
And engineers here would be like, "What do you mean? What's wrong with the algorithm?"
You know what? 11011.
You're in fucking Google's parking lot.
Yeah.
You can't say that shit. Might be in an algorithm and not even know it.
You know what? I don't care because I'm a Bing man.
Oh,
man.
Shit.
Yet another thing I was involved with that was taking off the air.
At a certain point, it's you, right?
It's gotta be. It's like, man, there's so many faulty chairs in my life. No, you just keep on breaking them.
No, but I honestly, in all sincerity, I think you did such a beautiful job with Mystery Science Theater.
Thank you.
Because you guys made it your own while clearly being fans of the first one and respecting the first one. And what an impossible feat to take something that's that beloved to the community, and I saw just across the board, people loved it. So you guys did
Thanks,
a great
man.
Job.
Yeah.
They did a fantastic job, and it was the kind of thing like, yeah.
Thank you.
The litmus...
Judge it by the applause. I don't think we're going to get picked up for a season
No, the litmus test for me was like, when I watched it, was I seeing Jonah or was I seeing Mystery Science Theater? And I was just totally seeing Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
And it just was like, oh, this is the thing I love, and it's back.
Thanks.
It wasn't like they were throwing fucking lens flares in there. Wasn't like all of a sudden Jonah was Khan. It was good.
Why are you taking shots at J.J. Abrams in the middle of the podcast?
Sometimes he needs it.
No.
Just bring him back down to earth. That motherfucker. Yeah.
But your panel today was great. Dude, you were the first panel out of the gate, and the room was full, and people were already here. And
people were very nice to show up, and thank you. Thanks for showing up.
Are you guys squatting in here like it's Hall H?
Were you guys? There might have been some squatters. I mean, I cannot tell you how terrified I was. All week long, people have been like, "Are you excited about your festival this weekend?" I'm like, "I mean, yeah." Like, I was terrified because I didn't know if anyone was going to show up. And I invited a lot of people to come and
Chris,
do panels. And
no one showed up. Turn off the hologram.
Shit.
The audience disappears.
You are in an algorithm. But it just...
Guess I better jerk off. That's what I would do. If it was ever the world ends, they're like, oh, I'm in an algorithm. Well, no one will see
this.
I
put myself on timeout for that joke.
It wasn't a joke. It was a real situation in my head.
Oh,
if you all disappeared,
you
I would jerk
it?
Off.
You're trying to save it.
No, I
save
was saying,
what?
You're on a stage and you're thinking about jerking off?
We are going through IVF right now, and I have to refrain for too long.
What do you mean you have to refrain?
You can't, like, I have these, like, 7-day, 14-day periods where I cannot...
You gotta build that shit up.
Release the beast, as it were.
You gotta build...
1 million strong. I have 1 million sperm cells. Normal is 80 to 120 million.
Aww.
I know.
That's an adorable number.
Sure is, Chris.
Well, I just want to thank you all for thinking this was the thing that you should come to and being here all day, because it's just been...
Yeah.
I look outside the tent. I actually see people walking around and doing what I wanted them to do, which is talk to each other in real life and buy art and comics and stuff and then go see bands and come see
I already bought some stuff. I bought 2 t-shirts. I got a Creepshow t-shirt.
Nice.
And a shirt with the poster for the movie Critters.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I find myself just buying horror movie shirts now all the time. I keep on reverting back to what I thought was a cool adult when I was 12.
Yep. So
they say about success, right?
Yeah.
What? Oh, my God. And there's a... Did you see the... I sent you the memorabilia auction that's going on this next week.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Matt and I had dinner a couple weeks ago, and I...
What?
What?
Oh,
you were busy. You were probably busy.
Totally, probably.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
You were probably very busy.
A couple weeks?
We didn't want to bother you with it.
I was around.
No, I'm sure you were out of town.
No, we were so close to your house that it felt weird.
Wait, it felt very strange. Yeah, it felt very strange to say hello.
Wait, 2 weeks ago I texted you guys saying, hey, did I see you at Town Pizza?
Yeah, but we just thought we didn't want to know that
maybe you didn't see us.
Maybe we didn't want you to feel obligated, like you had to hang out with us and have a good time.
You guys are my friends. Of course I want to hang out.
Sure.
Next time, that's how we feel too. Well, hey, what are you doing in a couple weeks?
I'm out of town.
Oh. Well, whose fucking fault is that then?
It's mine. I'm sorry.
There's a memorabilia auction going on next week that is the most incredible collection. It's a Profiles in History auction is the name of the company. The most incredible collection of memorabilia. The book is 672 pages, and it goes back to the beginning of film. You can buy the fucking Casablanca set. You can buy an original R2 unit that they're estimating is going to go for $1 million to $2 million. An original lightsaber.
You can buy the floor from Saturday Night Fever.
You can buy that. I sent it to Matt. I was just sending him all these things. You can buy the console from Next Generation from The Bridge.
Yeah, well, it's from First Contact. Let's be real.
Okay, all right.
It's not from the Enterprise D. It's from First Contact, the Enterprise E, which is a great ship, but... Come on.
But watching you, I should have taken video of you going through the thing going, oh, my God, James Bond suit. Oh, my God. Oh, look at this. Oh, they got this one.
That's a great mask.
So funny. I registered for that auction.
What are you going to bid on?
I'm looking at, they have Data's uniform from the Next Generation. I'm hoping to fit into by spring. They have the alien. There's this episode in season 1 of Star Trek: The Next Generation called Conspiracy, where these creatures latch onto the spinal cord of Starfleet Command and are controlling them. And then it ends with Riker and someone is pointing very. Yes, conspiracy, bro.
Yeah, oh,
season one, episode 22.
What weekend was just made?
And these creatures at the end of the episode, I remember as a kid, it's crazy because it ends with Riker and Picard shooting this Federation officer with a phaser, and he like his head blows up. And then his chest cavity opens, and it's like the mother creature is inside. Like,
Shit.
But what they're selling is this admiral takes a future-looking briefcase on the ship, and inside the briefcase is one of these creatures he's going to put in Dr. Crusher.
Oh, my God.
And they're selling that, and the opening bid is $400.
You might be the only person bidding on it other than that guy over there.
That guy doesn't have $400.
Bro, if we go in halvesies, 6 months at my place, 6 months at yours.
Joint custody. I'm gonna bid on Dark Helmet, the actual helmet
from Spaceballs.
Rick Moranis wore from
you're
Spaceballs.
You're going to be bidding against Adam F. Goldberg.
Are you serious?
Yes.
He's only got one show though.
We're trying to.
It's on ABC. It's the number 3 comedy on television. Whatever, Chris. Enjoy your game shows.
Yeah, that's right.
Enjoy talking about real shows. Whatever you want to do. But
he's right. I don't have that sitcom. I need that syndication money.
So that's we want to use it for the show, so we have the production money.
I will let you borrow it when I get it.
The production is going to pay for it.
Fuck. The other thing that I'm not going to bid on because it's so insane is they actually have Charlie Bucket's golden ticket from Willy Wonka, and they're estimating it. And they're saying like 40 to 60 grand, and I think it's going to go for more than that.
Why did that elicit such a reaction?
Because that's an amazing piece of cinema history.
Yeah, I get it, but I just said that from season 2 of Star Trek, you could have the creature.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Episode 22. Yes.
What was from season 2 of Star Trek?
Well, there's other things from season 2, but it was from season 1. I said the wrong season.
Oh, season 1?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you want? I need to hear you explain the whole thing again.
I might actually bid on, they have one of Laverne's sweaters from Laverne and Shirley with the L on it, so I might bid on that too.
They have one of LeVar Burton's uniforms. Yeah.
With the L on it?
No.
Oh, that'd be really cool. LeVar and Shirley?
I'm actually thinking about bidding on nothing and donating money to charity.
You son of a bitch. God damn it. You pandering son of a bitch, especially in the Bay Area where you know that's going to get an applause break.
I had no idea. I'm just speaking from my heart, as we all should.
God damn it. That's not at all what you would do. How dare you lie to these people?
I'm thinking about building safer bike lanes.
And these people have flying cars.
That's true.
They fly themselves.
Yeah,
I don't know. But it's... Yeah, and then I also want to bid on, I have one of the posable figures from Paranorman from Leica Studios, and I want to get, they have a Coraline, and I want to get a Coraline. So those are the two things, Dark Helmet and Coraline and Laverne's sweater.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to hopefully spend $400 and then explain to my wife why I spent $400.
Do you think, when you buy things, like, do you try to buy guitars behind her back, and when new ones appear, does she notice?
We have a rule, one in, one out. And sometimes she knows that they look a little different, and other times they show up at my office.
How's Dory doing? She just got back from her book tour.
Dory's book is out. Go get it. It's on Amazon. You could go. It's Startup, a novel.
I'd actually suggest going to your local bookstore.
Guys, go to a bookstore. It's available at your brick and mortar Amazon bookstores. It's in the Goodreads section. It's a smash hit.
Is Amazon going to put itself out of business? Like, is the when
I think Amazon just wants, like, see these food trucks out here and these independent vendors? Fuck them. Amazon's going to buy them.
Yeah.
Amazon's going to own Monster Energy. Then they're going to buy 5-Hour Energy, and we're going to be like, well, what is it, Monster or 5-Hour? And they're like, bro, it's called 12-Hour Energy.
Yeah. Don't drink it all at once.
5-Hour Monster.
You'll have a heart attack.
Been there.
Oh my God, yeah. Did we ever talk about the time you went to the emergency room and you thought you were having a heart attack and it was like you had like 9?
We did not explain the fact that I thought I was having a heart attack because I was jerking off.
Wait, what?
And I thought...
Oh my God.
And then I texted my wife. And then the moment happened in my head where I'm like, I either tell my wife that I'm having a heart attack or I finished jerking off. I finished.
And I'm proud to be an American,
because at least I know I'm free.
My sperm counts a million,
and IVF ain't free.
So then I ended up going to urgent care, got an EKG. She asked how much caffeine I had that day, and I said I had 2 large iced Americanos, 2 Monster Energies, and a 5-Hour Energy.
Jesus Christ.
And she said, is that normal? And I said, yes.
Were you smoking at the time?
Of course.
In the boys' room?
Son of a bitch. I was smoking in the boys' room. Air a day.
Did you tell them in the ER that you were...
I went to urgent care. ERs are very expensive. I don't know if you're familiar with American healthcare, but it's broken.
Right.
But I hear there's a great new plan coming.
Yeah, I mean, everything's going to be fine.
We'll see.
It's going to be fixed.
Everything's going to be fine.
So my pre-existing condition of not having enough sperm will not be covered.
Your pre-existing condition is pre-cum?
Pre-existing condition. Yeah. I don't know.
There's children here. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Giving them a great show.
Pretty much all we've done is talk about there are no, there jerking
are,
off.
Are there children? As a child sits down, I say, there are no children here.
There's a child. There's a human tambourine. There's all kinds of weird people
that
here.
That phone is the size of that person. That's amazing.
Well, kid, when a man and himself loves himself very much.
When a man hates himself so much.
That's what it's all about, Jonah. It's self-loathing. That gets me so fucking worked up. Yeah.
I'm going to destroy everything I love. So we were kind of in the middle of, you're done with Hidden America. You're on a break for Mr. Sanctuary.
No, I think Hidden America's done with Jonah is what it sounds like.
Well, we don't know yet. Oh, no. It could go somewhere else. Like when CISO, because right now I think they're in the process of just like doling out and figuring out where everything's going to end up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't even sure if I was going to do a third season. So wherever it ends up is fine. I had fun making it. So I don't, you know.
So what is it that you're working on currently besides the tour?
Just kind of working on the tour.
And what's the tour going to be? Are you going to watch a movie?
We're going to do, it's like a live episode. We're going to have sets, we're going to have sketches and songs, and we're re-riffing Iga, which is a classic episode from the original run.
Are you going to have any classic riffs in there, or is this all new riffing?
A couple classic riffs.
Yeah, classic riffs.
Yeah, a little watch out for snakes.
Woo!
But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to it, kind of, but it's also, it's 6 weeks on a tour in a bus. If I was 10 years younger, I'd be like, this is going to be the time of my, what a summer.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great summer. But now I'm just going to be like, I miss my wife and dog.
Oh, Dee's not coming?
She there's no room on the bus.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Liddy and I did a bus tour last year. I did some around New York and surrounding
areas. Bus?
On a bus.
How many people were you touring with?
Just the two of us.
So the bus?
It was a bus.
Oh, just because you wanted to hurt the environment?
Yep. That's right. I wanted to hurt the environment. Stop playing on the sensitivities of the Bay Area.
I'm not.
Again.
This is just how I am.
It's
a
not
nice,
at
caring
all
person.
How you are.
Well, you wanted to hurt the environment and not really give bicycles enough space.
Yeah. I'm not sure if anyone noticed the class separation on stage, but we have these no-name waters and Chris has Evian.
It's not at all relevant to anything. Come on, Jonah, what's wrong? You got thirster. Natural
thirster.
Spring water.
Natural spring water. Why is there quotes around natural?
Under nutritional information, it just says, fuck you.
Ingredients, water, and other things.
I thought a bus tour would be really fun. I always thought, oh, like touring on a bus. That's what you do. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it was not as fun as I had hoped it would be because it's, you know, you're just on the bus the entire time. There's nothing really to...
Yeah, the wheels go round and round. It's real repetitive.
They do, yeah. Yeah. And then a Jackson Brown song plays. But you can't really stand up. You kind of got to just sit down and there's not really...
My first question was, will I be able to fit in a bunk?
No.
Oh, they said yes. Were they lying to me?
Yeah, they were lying to
me. Oh, okay.
No, but you'll just fit... You'll barely just fit in there. The bunks actually looked really cool.
Yeah.
Because it is a little bit like a... And there are little monitors, like, in there so you can, you know, watch TV on your back.
Oh. I think Hardwick's bus was nicer than your bus is going to be,
Starting
Jonah.
To think so.
Yeah, and then, you know, because on the airstrip on the top of the bus.
Wait, the whole airstrip?
Yeah. You know where you land your plane on top of the bus, right?
No, I didn't. We don't have one of those.
Oh, I don't know what you're... Yeah. Well, then you may not be on a tour bus. I don't know.
No, they said it's a tour bus. They said it's a classic three-wheel tour bus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Built for four wheels, but then they said it would go faster with one less wheel.
The thing that you're going to have to worry about is if you're in the bunks and you forget where you are in the middle of the night and you get up to go to the bathroom, you instantly will hit your face. Like, right, because the bunk is
how
just like...
How fast do you get up in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't...
We're going to pee! No! No football practice!
The ceiling is literally right here because the top bunk is there, so you're squished in, and it, you know, you sort of feel like you're in the capsule that Spock gets buried in.
It's a torpedo. It's a Mark IV. Don't
All
worry
right.
About it.
Let's take it down.
The one thing that I didn't like is that they said, when you sleep, have your feet towards the front of the bus in case you crash and you don't break your neck.
Who said that?
Everyone.
When we got on the bus, there was only one rule. Our bus driver said...
there are no rules. And
there
then
was
you guys
one rule.
Started dancing.
That was one rule. And it took a second for us to process what he said. But he said, there's only one rule. Don't go number two in the bathroom unless you're going to hot bag it. And we're like, what the... Oh, no!
Hot bag it.
Yes, where you basically just poop into a bag and take it out with you when you're done. That was the only...
Take it out to where? The front of the bus?
I don't know. Throw it at other cars.
What is? I think,
hey, there he is.
I think it means you're throwing it out the window.
No, you'd wait till the
or
next stop.
You're over some people in Chicago, and you're the Dave Matthews Band.
Just drop a load.
Oh, that's right.
They do it every night anyway, so why not?
Oh, damn.
Boo. You are in Dave country.
Am I?
I don't know.
Here you see, there they're dropping the poop. Yeah,
Why didn't you ask him to play? Oh, if you did, I might stick around. Otherwise,
you got to get back up. Did you drive up here?
Yeah, I did.
You love being in your car.
I love just me, the Volvo, and the five. are you just like big Volvo fans?
Do you work? Do you work at Volvo?
Do you work for Volvo? But you just love your Volvo. Do you have an XC90 or an S60, an S40, an S90, or an XC60? Oh yeah, turbo, bro.
If you guys
I know it.
If you guys want to talk about the class divide happening right here,
it's just me and my fellow Volvo persons.
Well, Matt hasn't changed at all though. Like nothing has changed him. He always wanted a Volvo.
I always wanted a Volvo.
Yeah.
And I got a Volvo. And then my wife was like, when I met Dory, she had a Volvo that she bought the same day I did, but it was before we met.
Aww.
And I was like, someday I'm going to give you a child. And medically, I don't know if that's possible.
We'll be
but
right back.
I know that together we can get a Volvo. And we did. We got another one.
You have three cars?
No, she had to get rid of her lease ran up on her other Volvo. It's a complicated story about Volvo leases.
Sounds complicated and boring.
truly. I don't know why we got on that. Oh, I drove up here. Yeah.
And you're driving back tonight?
I drove up last night after we wrapped at work. I went home, saw the wife, saw my dog, had dinner, and then left.
Jerked off?
No, not last night. I had to hit the open road, Chris.
You had texting to catch up on.
I had to. Although
I got to catch up on. Well, better get on their own.
There's a good 160-mile stretch of the five where I probably could
drive. Driving with
up.
His knee.
Yeah.
What am I texting? That is exactly how I do it because I'm left-handed. yeah, so I'm driving. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to head back home. So go see Dory.
I was thinking about leaving, but I just love the people of the Bay Area so much. I just can't stay away.
I love them too, and I am thrilled that we're up here. And I have to say, I'm very proud of you, Chris, because for a first year festival, this is not a shit show, and I'm very proud of that.
Man,
oh my
it's
God.
Insane.
But I was just... Yeah,
like I was.
We talked about it a lot.
I was driving up here, and I'm like, "Is this gonna be like the fucking fire festival?"
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah,
I was just terrified that like one toilet was gonna break, and people would be like, "Fire festival 2!" You know. I mean, there were so many, but you know, the company that produced that, you know, like all the logistical stuff, SGE, they did such an amazing job, and it's been incredible. Like, it's just been such an amazing experience, and I'm already excited for next year and figuring out, like, oh, what can we do for
Chris.
Next year?
I mean, this is
day
like,
one is not even done.
I know,
enjoy
but like
it.
This, what like I loved about what I loved about this is I came and then I wandered over to Artist Alley,
yeah,
and I ran into Jerry Duggan and Phil Noe, and I was like, guys, let's go get a beer, and then we went over and got a $23 beer.
Ooh. They got $23 beer?
They got $23 beer, bro.
No, don't listen to him. There's plenty of fine wares here at the IDTT Festival.
That's
awesome. Break the bank.
Matt, you should have gone to the backstage because in the artist area, you can get $13 beers.
What?
But listen, I paid the money for it. I'm just like you guys. I was like, I'll get fucked also. And
hey guys, Katie, we gotta cut that out. What are you doing, man? Come on, buddy.
But no, it was fucking... It was really awesome because, like, I meet up with Jerry and Phil. We walk over. We get a beer. We're talking about Wonder Woman. Then we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. And then I'm like, oh, I have to go do a fucking robot panel.
Yeah.
And then I went over there and did a panel about robots. And then I was like, oh, and then I got to go. And then I go backstage and I see you. And then I'm like, and there's fucking these, someone's like, oh, there's this amazing band right now going on. And I'm like, this is like, it's like a playland.
It is like a playland.
It's fucking exactly like a playland.
I hope people have fun. I really do.
I saw that someone has cheesesteaks, and I want one.
It's right next to the ice cream taco place.
Right there. I see ice cream tacos from
Rocco's.
Here.
Rocco's. I got
I
one.
I can see the... Will Wheaton had one. He said they're amazing, and they like...
Yeah.
It's like the shell is like a waffle cone, and they put the ice cream, and they flash freeze it.
What is the Asian twist? Cheesesteak with an Asian twist.
I guess we'll have to find out.
It fucks you with a tentacle.
No. That would be a twist.
Yeah. Yeah. How long did you struggle to...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just glad.
I'm really excited. Is it good? Have you had it? Has anyone had that? Thumbs up?
The taco?
No, the cheese. I'm talking about cheesesteak. I want fucking cheesesteak, bro.
Can someone get mad at fucking cheesesteak? Thank you so much, sir.
Don't.
Don't give him anything.
For Matt?
No.
I know if I was asking, I'd demand you run. But for Matt?
The man drove up in a Volvo. Don't buy him anything.
I'd be like, honey, I was stronger than pizza, but then there was cheesesteak with an Asian twist.
Stronger than pizza. I want to make a cartoon where it's you and pizza like doing a bodybuilding competition.
You're the best around. Nothing's going to ever keep you down. Pizza would always win. I think we have some time for Quements because I think we have about 17 minutes.
Whoa, everyone,
remember it.
Fight for the microphone!
It's a comment.
Yes, sir. You're the first gentleman to ask a question.
What is your name? I'm too short for that. So, two-part question. One is for Matt and Jonah going on a three-year joke from San Diego. Boston Batman, is that getting a release date?
Boston Batman. Boston Batman's a character who goes a little something like this. You're Alfred, remember?
Sure. Sir.
Oh, what the fuck, Alfred?
They saw you out. The newspapers have you in a Boston Red Sox hat.
Yeah, fuck, I'm going to support Boston. We're in first place. I got to fucking wear it.
But it's the special Bruce Wayne hat you got.
Oh.
Still better than Dawn of Justice.
I saw half of it. My whole thing was like, I'm not going to see Dawn of Justice. I won't see it. I saw half of it on Stars. And DirecTV does that thing where it's like, you can rewind to the beginning of the movie, and I was like, uh-uh. You're not going to get me.
You know the best part of Dawn of Justice? Wonder Woman was the best part of Dawn of Justice. I thought. It was just that whole thing of like, her name is Martha, my mother's name is Martha. Yeah.
I heard the name Martha the other day. Someone's like, it's like, what's your name? Martha. And I was like, that movie's so terrible.
And one more quick thing. Are you wearing silver Air Force Ones?
Am I what?
Wearing silver Air Force Ones?
I'm wearing, these are the SB, the Nike SBs.
Those are not Air Force Ones.
They're not Air Force Ones. The guy that drives a Volvo is really into your shoes.
I drive a Corolla.
I like Air Force Ones. I usually wear them, but I'm wearing New Balance.
Thank you. What is your name and question?
Hi, my name is Randy. My question is, first I want to say thank you for putting this on. This is an amazing
Thank you for coming to it. Yeah. Thank you for coming to it.
Like, It was very easy for me to think, hey, I'm going to buy a ticket, come here. Hey, I'm going to buy a VIP pass and enjoy even more.
Nice.
I can't wait for this to happen next year.
Thank you.
Now, I want to, I guess for all three of you, when you first started this, because I started co-hosting a podcast that my friend created, and I always want to know when you guys started the podcast, like, where did you see the end happening? Like, where did you think it would be?
I didn't really think about that because I was just so frustrated with not having any control over what was happening in the entertainment business. And I had just lost a job that I thought was going to be a show that would get picked up, and it didn't go at the last minute, and I was really frustrated. And so my reaction when I get frustrated is I just make something because it just makes me feel like I'm more in control. So I just said, well, I'm just going to make a pod. I've been thinking about doing it for a long time. I'll just make a podcast, and no one can tell me how to do it. And I
was friends with Matt, who worked at the Apple Store, who was producing the Comedy and Everything Else podcast with Jimmy Dore and Todd Glass. And I said, would you come on board and help me produce this? And then I called Jonah, who I'd known since he was like 19. From, you know, we did open mics together. And I said, hey, would you be on the podcast? And we sort of just said, you know, let's just do this as long as we can, as long as it's fun. And but we just have to, you know, just release them on a schedule. And that's it. That was the only agreement. So I don't think we ever, but it just so quickly we realized, not only is this an incredible outlet and it's fun, we're getting to talk to all these interesting people, we're getting to hang out, we're having fun, and people are responding to it, and we're able to do live show. It just really sparked everything, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I am the host of Mystery Science Theater is because I met Joel Hodgson when he was on the Nerdist podcast, and we became friends afterwards, and that's why I have that job now. And I'll thank it. I every day I give thanks to myself for the tenacity of continuing on with a career in light of being under the shadow of like an oppressive force in your life. Thank you, Chris.
And I, you know, I was, I've been doing podcasts since I've been doing podcasts since 2007.
Yeah.
And that's 10 years of podcasting. And it's been something that I thought I would be able to stop doing, but instead I just do more. I have 5 podcasts right now. And it's a thing where I just feel like it's given me everything I have in my life, up to and including, like, you know, I didn't know Adam F. Goldberg until I did the podcast that he was a guest on. And then we hit it off and became friends and then eventually ended up over there. And now I've been there for almost two years. And
but not only that, but also just the idea that you and Dory are going through this thing, which is, we, you know, you make a lot of jokes about it, but it's a very hard thing. You're going through IVF. And part of how they dealt with it was making a podcast about the process to sort of help other people to kind of demystify it and to deal with it. So it's a really powerful medium. And I think as long as you're excited about it and you continue to do it, it will continue to evolve and grow. And because you can connect with, you know, people will find it, you know. And so it really has been the most significant choice career-wise. I think one of the top 3 career choices I've ever made was to just make a thing for myself and you know, make stuff with my friends. And so if that's what you're doing, then I would say you're on the right track.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being an inspiration to content creators and everyone.
Oh, thanks, man. Okay. Thanks for coming. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question.
Underdog.
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 Hey, guys. My name is Bill.
Hi,
and,
Bill.
This is for Chris. First of all, I watch your show at midnight every night.
Thanks.
I love it. It really.
Thank you.
This is my first time at an event like this, and I hope this is appropriate. But, you know, I kind of feel like we're losing a lot of good people these days to addiction.
Yeah.
You know, there are just countless people, right? Heath Ledger, more recently, Chris Cornell, so on. Anyway, myself, I've got 6 years clean.
Nice, congratulations.
Yeah, I used meth once for 30 years. And, I stay clean through a program, which will remain anonymous. But
very good.
Anyway, so I've been fortunate enough to start a group about 3 years ago, a very amateur drama group. And we created and performed a play for Northern California Convention in April called Super Powerless. And it is, we all picked a different superhero, gave them an addiction, and brought them into recovery.
That's a great idea.
And thank
That's
you so
really
much.
That's a really great idea.
It got a really good response. It's an awesome comedy. My kind of thoughts of maybe taking it to the next level to make it kind of more professional production is to hopefully maybe find a way to bring some celebrities who are in recovery involved into it and maybe put on even a benefit that supports recovery. And so we were able to record that, and I was wondering if I could give you a DVD.
Yeah, absolutely, please. I really would love to see that.
I promise you, if you get a chance to even watch a couple of the scenes tonight, you may want to play them here tomorrow.
Excellent.
My info is written on the inside. If you want to give me any feedback, even if the feedback is That was a piece of which you won't, but I would even honor that. And thank
please,
you so
yeah,
much.
Please, yeah, no, please, sincerely, I really would love to see that. That's a great... Oh, great. Oh, thank you. Oh, good, I didn't drop it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I was. Kind of, it's kind of funny that you... I was just thinking about this idea of if Superman, like, going through a dark depression because he can't relate to anyone else, and he starts just getting, like, kryptonite chips, and he goes out, and he does shots of kryptonite, like, diluted kryptonite, so he can get in fights just so he can feel something. Is that fucked up?
I like it.
It's pretty dark. I think DC might want it.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
You will find Superman in the first scene. And I've got one more question for anybody here. My iPhone froze, and I don't know what to do about it. So Matt? If anybody can help me out.
Oh, my God. You're in Google's parking lot. They're going to go, buy Android, bro.
Sorry, bro.
Someone will help you.
You need a fucking appointment, okay, bro?
You need to do a soft reset, right?
You need an appointment.
Yeah, just hold the home screen and the lock button for a few seconds, and then it'll...
Sure, Chris.
All right. Hey, how's it going?
Hi, my name is Charmaine.
I remember you from the other panel. Nice to see you again.
Magician's panel.
Yeah, what's your question?
First of all, I have to say I love the Hustle podcast. If anybody sees me driving down the road watching it, they would think I'm crazy because they'd be like, what's going on in that car?
They must be talking about Volvos.
But my question is, you guys work so much. You're really successful. If you could be someplace in the world right now for a rest and relaxation that you haven't been to, where would you go?
That I haven't been to?
Yeah.
Pandora World in Animal Kingdom.
That's fair.
Pandora from the... What's the James Cameron movie called?
Avatar.
Avatar.
That's what I said.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's so dumb.
No, it's a new theme park in Animal Kingdom, in Disney World. And because I haven't been there, I could get to Disney World under her rules... Where it has to be somewhere I haven't been, but I secretly just would rather be in Disney World.
Matt, the hand thing doesn't work. If you still speak into the mic, it just...
I don't understand what you're saying, John. No, obviously, they can't see how my mouth moves, so they can't read my lips.
The thing in your hand?
Well, yeah.
That magnifies the sound of your voice.
But they can't see my lips, you dumb.
It's true. I really want to go to Reykjavik. I really want to go to Iceland. I know you went to Iceland. And you said it was
Reykjavik's
incredible.
A fucking hoot, especially in the summer when it gets dark, never.
Where would you go, Jonah Ray?
I've always really wanted to go to Ireland. And no, it's because I really want to drink.
Thank you very much.
Wait, as friends, where would you go together to hang out?
Just here. Yeah.
Only here, only on stage with microphones in hand.
Only when we're recording audio, and, I mean, we could go to dinner, but Jonah should probably not know about it.
I gotta say, we've taken a lot of trips together, and it's always really fun because, you know, we get to go, and when we got to do more live shows, we would go somewhere and get food and drive around, and we would record Matt singing Third Eye Blind in the back of the car. That was really fun.
Semi-charm kind of life, bro.
That's right. Do whatever what you want to do. Come on after you.
Coming over you.
I don't care.
Thank you.
She even bored her. Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Sherman. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, guys. My name is Anjali, and I just wanted to say that I really love the Nerdist podcast. You guys are awesome content creators, so thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
I have a question for all of you, actually, and it's kind of similar to what one of the gentlemen already asked, but I figured I'd just ask it anyway.
Do it anyway.
So between the three of you, you guys have undertaken a lot of creative ventures. So for you guys, in comparison to all those creative ventures, what is it about the podcast medium and audio storytelling in general that makes it so unique and interesting for both the storyteller and the listener?
It's intimate.
For me, it's the easiest thing I do. It really is like when you write in a room and you're, you know, you spend weeks breaking a story and, you know, you do a, you know, network notes and then a table and then you fix it again and then you edit it, you shoot it, you edit it, you do a reshoot, and finally 3 months later, out in the world comes this thing you were working on forever. Whereas when I'm sitting down to do a podcast with my wife on Sunday nights, we have the conversation, we read emails from people, we talk to the people that have called in, and we do the podcast, and then I put it up within an hour of us doing it, and then it's out in the world. So I like, for me, it's the immediate gratification of like, I'm going to make this thing, and then you're going to be able to hear it as soon as I can physically get it to go on the internet. And that's something I just enjoy the immediacy of podcasting.
I think what Jonah said is right, too, about the intimacy is that when we first decided to have sponsors for the podcast, which was about 6 or 7 months in, when I would talk to sponsors about sponsoring it, I go, it's the most intimate form of media because if you feel like you're a fly on the wall, you feel like you're in the conversation. And when you think about how most people listen to it, you put it in your ear, like it's in your head, and it guides you through so many emotional times in your life, through happy times, tragic times, sad times, difficult times, exercise, work, whatever it is that you're doing. And the conversations are so, like, I never say I'm an interviewer. I just have conversations. And I think it humanizes. I think when they look back on podcasts at some point in the future, they'll realize what a really revolutionary thing that it is, because where else can you hear people that you normally think of as two-dimensional speak like human beings and find out what they're like in conversation and relate to them and not feel so weird and alone and to really just connect with an authentic experience? And because you can make it about whatever you love, it's a pure expression of who you are. And so that's why, you know, that's why I still do it. That's why I still find time to do it 7.5 years in, because I love it so much. And it's heartbreaking to me that, you know, I do a lot of them alone, most of them alone, and that's not my preference, but I'm proud and happy that Matt and Jonah are doing all, you know, like following all their dreams and making all their stuff come true. So, you know, it's like even just sitting here with you guys, like, fuck, I wish we could do this more often, you know? It's,
yeah. Well, we could. I have time Sundays at 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I just really can't wait to see Zach Braff portray podcasts on ABC this fall.
Is that going to be a thing?
It's called Alex Inc.
All right.
It's based on the podcast Startup by Gimlet Media. It's going to be a hoot, guys. That Braff can sure get into some sticky situations.
Network Marin, basically?
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Are you a podcaster?
Not really. I really like listening to podcasts.
Oh, that's cool. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Thanks for your question. Yes, what is your name and question?
Hi, my name is Peyton. I don't really have a question. I just have a thank you for you guys. I started listening to your podcast during a really dark time in my life. I have major depression, and you guys were a huge factor in me getting over that and me overcoming like my suicide attempts. And I just want to thank you guys for being my heroes. So.
Well, thank you
Thanks
for...
Thanks so much. Thanks for letting us know that.
Thank you for having the courage to stand up and say that. And thank you for still being here. You know, I mean, I think part of the podcast is a journey for all of us. You know, we are very open about how, you know, if we've struggled with anxiety and depression and addiction. And I feel like it's important to be open about that because, you know, when I was younger, I wish I had that. You know, I didn't know, especially for people if they can't afford therapy or they don't know who to talk to just feel like, oh, I'm not alone and I'm not broken and it's okay. And you get depressed and it's not the end of the world. I can get through it, you know, like, so it is, I think that has been one of my favorite side effects that I never planned on was that people would relate to it in such a way that it would help them feel emotionally okay and sort of normalize, you know, and talk about mental illness in a way that doesn't feel so clinical or like so, oh, it's the worst thing, you know. It's like, well, this is something that so many people deal with now, particularly in our frenetic culture. So thank you for listening and saying that, and thank you again for getting through it.
Thank you, and I am very happy that you didn't do what I do, which is eat your feelings.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Aaron, and I've been listening to you guys for probably about 5 years now, and really appreciate what you guys do. You help inspire me to create a podcast of my own. It's called Uncontained. I interview a bunch of people who are getting started out in the entertainment industry and see what they're up to. I try to keep it very conversational because I kind of modeled it after your interview style. Not jacking it by any means.
No, listen, there's no interview style. It's really just...
He doesn't own it.
Yeah, I don't own it. And it's really just what are you interested in and what do you want to know as a fan and what can you learn? Like, that's all... When I'm asking people questions, it's not ever plan... I don't plan anything. It's just what do I want to learn and how can we connect?
Right on. Yeah, I like the conversational aspect of it. And I have a question that I asked all of my guests at the end of the show. It's kind of the title question of the podcast, which is called Uncontained.
Yeah.
And The question is, how do you live uncontained? Meaning, despite people telling you, dude, you should give up this podcasting thing or the stand-up thing and get a real job or just, you know, fall into the status quo, what is it that keeps you guys or kept you guys motivated through the hard times to get to where you're at today?
A lack of self-awareness on my part.
I mean, I think the entertainment business in particular is just a sea of rejection. And I don't think it ever feels good. And, you know, when I was growing up, I was very socially ostracized. And I always felt rejected socially for so long. And I think something about me, I don't know if it's because of my parents or what, but I just get this kind of like, fuck you, I'll show you. You know, like I always have that kid inside. And those were always the movies that I connected to the most, like Revenge of the Nerds or Real Genius, or when people would basically use their brains to overcome a situation. And so I was always inspired by that. So I guess I just, I honestly don't know what else I would do, you know? So I just keep powering through with the rejection and try to figure out, can I learn from this? Can I do something with it? And there is like a healthy list in my head of people who said no or were shitty to me or whatever. And I think I just sort of use that as, you know, like, you can't control what happens to you in life for the most part, but you can control what you do with it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just like to use the rejection as learning and motivation to show, you know, like, I can do this. I guess that's what it is. I don't know. And it's also, I just like what I do. It's fun. I don't know, man.
Also, when you're doing this stuff, remember, like, don't look at the size of the victory. Don't say, well, that was like a little victory, or that's a big victory. Know that it's a victory and just take them and make it make you feel good.
Okay.
And don't worry about it. Just being like, well, it's just a little thing. We shouldn't really worry about it. Just go, when you get that little victory, just go, yes. And then, you know, keep that.
You should, yeah. And you should appreciate that stuff when it happens. And
yeah.
And I think.
But back to the list of people who wronged you, Chris.
I think there's not enough time.
I also noticed that part of his sentence, Jonah.
Yeah.
Who wronged you?
It's not even a real, like, I don't actually have a physical list, but just every time I would get rejected in a shitty way, I would just sort of fuel the motivational fire, basically.
Yeah.
So it's not like a real, you know, list, like in, what was the Adam Sandler movie?
Billy Madison,
yeah. But, you know, I just think it's good to set goals, but I think goals are just a reason to get you on a journey. Once you reach the peak of something, it's over in a second, and you gotta come back down. So you need to appreciate, like we always say in Joy of Burrito, you need to appreciate the journey as it's happening, because that's where the learning happens, that's where the growth happens, and that's where the real, you know, that's where the real meat is.
Yeah, and I can't stop because I moved really far away from home to go to Los Angeles, and I'd feel real dumb having to go back. So
at this point, yeah.
Yeah, especially this point.
So that's it. You just have to enjoy the process of what you're doing, and if you love it, it kind of doesn't matter what anyone else says, you know? Because you're doing what makes you happy, and that's the most important thing. So that's it.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you.
I think time for one more question, and then we have to vacate the premises. Hey, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Jonathan.
And what is your question, Jonathan?
Long-time fan, you know, first-time Idiot Fest goer. You know, I've enjoyed your work from G4 TV to, you know, Talking Dead to Xfinity commercials. And so when I saw that this fest was going on, I was really excited, especially to see the music, the pop culture, the comedy, and all that. And so I hate to leave it on one criticism I have.
Oh, sure.
Okay. So the comedy tent, I didn't know that it was like a ticket, that you needed to grab a ticket. And I feel like a lot of people didn't hear that. And so I met Dimitri Martin once after a Fly the Conchords concert. So I think he'd be pretty hurt if I wasn't there. We talked about his Prius, I think. And so I was wondering if there's any way, like, do you have, like, a spare ticket? Me and my friend could go? Maybe
you
can take
what,
us in your DeLorean?
First of all, I love that the last question was sort of like, you stood in line like, oh, this is the complaint desk.
I felt bad. I was going to be like,
I got to tell you something. I 100% appreciate that. See, this is, people say, oh, you guys, you know, no one can take criticism. Yes, you can.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, I was just going to give you a... That was really nice of that guy.
Can I get one for my
Does friend? Anyone else need anything? Look under your chairs.
I feel so selfish like I get
no,
one
No, no,
more.
No, no. I was totally going to say, like, yeah, I'll take you over there myself if you
yes,
want.
Yes, please.
Just because, you know, the idea that you that was a very fair thing that you said, and also that's important for me to know that stuff. if people weren't aware that you need tickets, then we need to do a better job of messaging that out.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
We will 100%. And these are the things that you, I mean, and Silicon Valley is the perfect place. This is kind of the beta test in a way to see, like, now that under mass consumption, what do we need to do better? So that is, I swear to you, we will do that better next year.
Thank you.
And I appreciate that you express that in a, like, a really calm, civil way. And this is how problems can be solved, you guys. So
this guy can't not be mellow though. Look at him.
I think you should have hashtagged it "fuck you, Chris" and tweeted angrily about it. Yeah, there
you know, that's a good idea, yeah. Matt. Let's get that hashtag trending.
There's your second one.
Now everyone's going to be giving him comedy tickets.
Yeah, but this is unbelievable.
You seem to be in abundance.
Does anybody have a Volvo I could have?
But I really appreciate that. So thank you, and I'm sorry that we messed that up. But we'll fix it for sure.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Yeah. You one more? I'm getting the one more. All right, I will get one more. Right. From yeah.
so ten, guess, ten more? How many more? I don't know sign
all
language.
Yeah, I know. We gotta. Yeah, I know. So you can't kick me off my own stage. You can't do this to me. It's my fucking thing. All right, one more question, and then we'll get out of here.
So my name is Dakota, and my first question is the Talking Nerdist after show after this?
Yes.
All right, perfect.
Talking Nerdist, and then Chat Midnight, and then Talking Balls for the Wall.
And my second question is, how would you like the Walking Dead series to end? Because I have it in my head, and it sounds perfect. But I'm just wanting to pick your brain and see how you would like it to end.
I think it should end where whoever survives just, like, walks out and you find out that it was just a Westworld simulation.
You see, I think Rick should die, but he doesn't get reanimated.
He does not get reanimated.
Does not get reanimated.
He just dies and then... Oh, so you're saying something about him just doesn't reanimate.
Yeah, he doesn't get reanimated. Cut to little Carl all grown up, and it's kind of like that Glenn Deaf family picnic scene.
Yeah.
Where he's looking out and he sees all of the dead members of his group. And it's like 10 years later, and he's just remembering the zombie apocalypse.
Get me Robert Kirkman on the phone, pronto!
Yeah, and kick him in the shins for making me cry, because Steven Yeun's death was a tearjerker.
Spoilers, bro!
Why did you say spoilers? Oh my god!
Sounds like we got some super fans
in
the audience.
It was in the comics, fuck you all!
Read a book, watch the show when it comes out, DVR it, alright? It's been like 3 months.
Listen, hey, I'm with you.
I got yelled at for spoiling Tasha Yar's death on Star Trek, which happened in 1987.
That's the way it works now. But I have to spoil this because we have to go. There's other stuff going on. But honestly, wait, before you do that, I want to sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming here and being communal and just allowing this to happen. I want to thank
Thanks,
you so
Chris.
Much.
Thank
and
you, Chris.
I hope we get to do it again next year. Have a great festival. Go see Weezer. Go see comedy. Go see OK Go. Enjoy the Artist Alley and all the booths. And enjoy your burrito, most importantly. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.